It's Plant Talk on KFGO with retired horticulturalist Dave Decock on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And it is brought to you today by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service and Cheyenne Gardens. Dave, welcome back to the KFGO studio.
Well, it's great to be back.
That shot of rain that we got this week was quite nice.
It's nice. I think we're getting more. So, grass is certainly got considerably greener with a little bit of rain.
Would you say that it's still a little too early to put down fertilizer or grass seed?
Well, I think it's definitely too early for both. I know that people have done it. If your dandelions were growing and they were actually there and you put weed and feed down a few days back, it would probably work because the dandelions, if they're actually there, the weed killer will work on them, and the rain would then dissolve the fertilizer and get it down into the ground. So from that aspect, that would work. But generally, waiting till at least May to do those two things would be advisable. Even though I know that nobody's going to listen, they're all going to put fertilizer down when they feel like, and that's it. You know, I guess there's an awful lot of fertilizer put down already.
Sure,
but it's not necessary yet. But people are just anxious to do something; they want to do it.
We are anxious to get out there, and it seems like a year when we can get out there a little bit early because there's not as much mud.
Well, next week's supposed to get a little cold again, so that's going to put a kibosh on this stuff progressing very much.
I noticed,
it could even snow.
Yeah, a chance for snow showers, I know, on Monday.
Right, Monday and Tuesday are going to be fairly cold. I think the highs are going to be in the mid-30s.
Should we worry about anything at that point?
I don't think so. Things haven't progressed very far.
Okay.
You know, my the grasses are coming back pretty good that I've cut back, but they'll be okay. The tulips and the bulbs and stuff, they're used to getting freezing temperature when they're growing, so they shouldn't be a problem.
Someone wants to know, if spring came early, what does that do to my asparagus? I usually burn my patch, but if there's still a burn ban after this little rain, what will I notice about my patch that would tell me if I need to cut it out rather than waiting to burn it?
Well, what you're going to see is the asparagus shoots start to come up. When the asparagus shoots start to come up, then it's time to get it cleaned up one way or the other.
Okay.
Yeah. And the good thing to do is if you've got grasses in there and the asparagus hasn't started to come up yet, you could certainly spray the grasses with Roundup if the asparagus hasn't came up yet. And it would probably take the crack grass or whatever kind of grass you've got in that bed out if you've got a problem with grass in the asparagus bed, because it's one way of getting rid of the crack grass and stuff out of asparagus beds is to spray with Roundup early when the grass is greened already, but the asparagus hasn't started to come up.
But then they could still burn it at that time too, right?
Oh, sure.
I mean, as long as there's not a burn ban, they could still burn it if the asparagus isn't up.
Right. And I would guess after the rain's finished, you should be able to burn it for a period of time because it's not going to be instantly dry on the surface again.
Right.
The grasses and the things that would burn will still be moist.
Let's hope that gets lifted so you can do that soon. Is it too late to trim the lower branches of pine trees? Some are dead.
No, It would be fine to take the lower branches off of, actually dead branches we can take off any time they're dead. There's nothing wrong with taking them off. As far as pine trees, the only downside of taking lower branches off of evergreens is that then you can see underneath the tree, and usually it's not a pretty sight under the trees because the grass doesn't grow there. There's a lot of needles and stuff there, and if you do clean it up, it's hard to get anything to grow under an evergreen tree. So once you take those bottom branches off, you can see underneath, and then you've got to live with what it looks like underneath.
Sure. Dave, is now a good time to cut back or prune all the shrubs and bushes in your yard?
Yeah, it would be.
Or do you want to wait?
It's a good time to do that. The only thing I would say is that there are certain plants that in open winters like this, we get dieback, things like barberries and other plants, vigilas, which will have some winter dieback. If you go in and start pruning on them before they start to leaf out, you really don't know if you're getting everything that's dead or not. So if you do prune everything now, once they get leafed out, you may have to go back. And if there's areas you missed or that's dead further back in, you're going to have to cut that out. But there'd be nothing wrong with doing it now.
Someone wants to know if it's okay to prune an apple tree yet.
Oh, yeah. It would be a great time to do an apple tree. The chances of getting severely cold weather are done. But they haven't leafed out yet. So it would be a great time to do apple trees.
Let's get to the phone lines,
sure.
Dave. Brian is the first one up here.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Dave. I just tuned in. Maybe we've already covered this, but yesterday I put down crabgrass preventer, and the soil temperature at 1 inch down was 52 degrees.
Okay.
Did I put it on too early?
I think you probably did. You know, usually we wait till the early part of May with crabgrass. So I would maybe this is going to be effective, maybe not. It depends how effective it stays for how long a period of time. The other thing you can do is if you do have crabgrass come up and you do spray it, I know the ortho sprays, the weed killers now usually have a crabgrass killer in them too, and it works when crabgrass is still fairly small. So if you spray your dandelions in the late part of May or something like that, then it'll probably take care of the crabgrass at the same time. So there's actually two opportunities to get the crabgrass. You can get it before it starts to grow, or if it does come up before you get to it, you can use the Weed Be Gone with the crabgrass killer, and the Weed Be Gone would work too. So it's not nearly as difficult to get on top of crabgrass as it used to be, because you basically have two opportunities.
Kind, so
right.
I'm sure with this rain, it's probably already saturated in the ground.
Well, that's fine. You know, and I don't know how long it stays effective. You know, if it stays effective, I would guess over time it becomes less and less effective. And normally crabgrass doesn't start to grow until probably the 10th of May. And it's about the same time as if you put grass seed down, that would start to grow too.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, sure. Anytime, Brad. Bye-bye.
Next up is Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Hey, say, I got a cactus, and I don't know what kind it is, but it's getting about a foot tall.
Right.
And it's kind of cupped, like you got your hand cupped.
Right.
And it's got little thorns to it.
Right.
But I got it from a lady that passed away.
Sure.
And it's in a really small pot, though.
Right, right.
I wonder, can a guy transplant it?
Oh, sure. You can move to a little bit bigger pot. Don't move. You know, if you've got like a 6-inch pot, don't go to any more than an 8-inch pot. You don't want to make the pot too large, because cactus and the succulent plants tend to do best when they're underpotted. So it means basically the pots are borderline too small for them. They tend to do best. And if they're going to flower, they're more likely to flower that way than if you've got them in a pot that's too big. And
go
ahead.
So I just move up to, like, one here is probably in a 5-inch pot. So
sure.
Can I move that up to an 8?
You could. The downside of moving them up to too big a pot is it's too easy to overwater that way too. And of course, cactus certainly don't want to be overwatered, because the biggest problem we have with them is, if they get overwatered or stay too wet, then we have a lot more problem with root rot and that kind of thing. So cactus like to be fairly tight potted. So if it's a 5-inch, I don't know that going to a 6 would gain you much. If you found a 7-inch, that would be great. And if you can't, then an 8-inch would be fine. Typically, the pots for cactus 2 are a little bit shallower than normal pots. So if you find one that's a little bit shallower, that's good too.
Hey, thank you very much.
Anytime. Bye-bye.
Let's get to the next call here. Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Yeah, Dave, what do you think of mulching leaves into the garden?
It's beneficial, and it tends to loosen up the soil. Basically, what it gives you some organic matter in the soil, and adding grass clippings, leaves, that kind of thing does that. The one downside of leaves is leaves are a little bit short as far as nitrogen is concerned. They're more carbon. So what happens is, if you mulch a lot of leaves in, you might want to make sure to fertilize the garden at the same time to compensate for what typically happens in decay, is the leaves use the nitrogen from the soil to decay. And if they do, then, of course, the plants aren't getting it. So if you're going to mulch in a good amount of leaves, I would say to make sure that you put a garden fertilizer down at the same time, some kind of a granular fertilizer, get that down, work that in at the same time. That way you won't tie up the nitrogen that the plants would need.
Okay. Something like a 10-10-10?
Yeah, that would be fine. That would be fine. 10-20-10, something like that. The middle number for fruit and flowers and stuff, the middle number should be the largest.
Okay.
open.
Thank you.
Yeah, sounds good. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Next up is Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Yeah, good afternoon. I enjoy your show very much.
Thank
you. We got some peonies. They're not coming up yet. We did cut them back last year.
Right.
But we saw some quackgrass going in between them, and I was pulling that out. Well, this year it seems like I got a lot of quackgrass coming up before the peonies. Anything I can do with that?
Well, sure. If you're sure the peonies haven't started to come up, you could just use Roundup on the quackgrass.
Okay, that sounds
but
good.
Do it as soon as you can, because you don't want the peonies coming up. If they're starting to come up and you spray them, of course, it's not good for them either.
Oh, that's what I kind of thought. You know,
but, yeah, if you can, because what typically happens is quackgrass and some of those weedy grasses, they will start to green up before the plants do. And if you get it on that window of opportunity there, you can take the quackgrass out and not affect the peonies. Now, there are weed killers, too, that are made specifically for grasses. The grass be gone, some of those kind of things. You could use them, and they wouldn't affect the peonies.
Okay.
But right now, if the peonies haven't started to stick their heads out yet, go ahead and hit the grass.
Okay, sounds good, Dave. Yep. Thank you very much.
Anytime. Bye-bye.
Next on the line is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've got a question. I've acquired a piece of property. And it's got a bunch of shrubs or brush that's up against the building, and it's grown quite large.
Right.
Am I okay to take it down, whack it down 6 inches from the ground?
Right.
But I don't know what kind they are. I know one's got a red bark on it, and the other one just looks like a brown bushy.
They're probably shrubs. Yeah, you could cut them down fairly shortly. Typically, non-evergreen shrubs, they can be cut back severely. They will come back again.
So okay.
It should not be a problem. Now would be a great time to do it.
All right. Well, thank you very
sure.
much. And thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Anytime.
Okay. This is Plant Talk on KFGO, taking all your lawn and garden questions. We're here on Thursdays from 1 to 2, and usually a replay on Saturdays or Sundays. You can catch Dave on the weekends as well. We'll come back with more of your questions on Plant Talk.
The sweet sounds of Plant Talk on the Mighty 790 and 104.7 FM KFGO. Retired horticulturist Dave DeCock is with us. Dave, let's go right back to the phone lines. Roger has been waiting patiently.
Hi, Roger.
Yes. Hi, Dave. I got a question as far as applying crabgrass killer this spring. Would it be sooner than normal, being spring seems to be here earlier?
It would be, but it depends what's going to happen, because next week we're seeing a couple of days where it's going to be down in the 20s at night, up low 30s during the day. If we got away from that, yes, it would speed the year up. But so it's really hard to say for sure. Typically,
okay.
It's the early part of May. If we'd stay above freezing at night every night, of course, that would move it quite a bit forward. But, you never know about the weather. We could get a stupid blizzard at the end of April. You know, who knows? So,
sure.
You almost have to go by then. And the other thing to keep in mind is that now, like the ortho weed be gone, some of those I've seen now have got a crabgrass killer in that, too. And it actually works on crabgrass that has came up. You know, when it first comes up, it's fairly small. This crabgrass killer in the weed be gone works on that too. So actually, you've got two chances to get it.
Okay.
So I guess what I would do is, if you move this one ahead a little, use your weed be gone maybe a few weeks later, and so get your dandelions and lawn weeds. And if it's got the crabgrass killer in, and there's any crabgrass, it should take that too. So you've actually got two chances to get it.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds great.
Sounds good. We'll
Thank
talk
you
to
very
you.
Much.
Yep. Bye.
Yep. Bye.
Next up is Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Yes.
See, I've got what I call Creeping Charlie. It's a real low-growing plant that has purple flowers on it.
Right.
And really stinks when you cut it.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
How do I get rid of it?
Okay. There is an ortho product called Weed Be Gone for Hard to Control Weeds. And it's listed for chickweed and clover and Creeping Charlie, those kind of things. Now, that would work. Now, if you can't find that, you can buy this ortho. It's for poison ivy. You can buy that and use that too, but if you do, you have to reduce the dosage, because if you put the poison ivy control down, it would take the grass too. I mean, it's pretty tough. So it is the same chemical. It's just that the label for the poison ivy is like 4 ounces in a gallon of water, and the Weed Be Gone for the hard to control weeds is 1 ounce. So if you keep that in mind and you can't find one, you can use the other one in place of it.
Okay.
But you just have to reduce the dosage, and you're going to have to do it more than once.
Right.
Because it'll knock it back, but you give it 2-3 weeks and you'll see it starting to come back again. So you'll have to keep after it.
Okay. Now I got another problem. Part of this is in my strawberry patch. Take all the strawberries out and start over again and treat it hard?
That's probably what you're going to have to do. And the other thing with strawberries, of course, too, is that the older the plants get, the less productive they get.
Right.
So if you got some great big old plants in there, you can get them out and get the creeping. And you can dig as much of the creeping Charlie out of there, too, as you can with the strawberry patch.
Okay, that sounds good.
Then you'll just have to spot spray if you get any coming up when you've got strawberries there.
Okay, sounds good.
Sure. Talk to you again. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye.
Is it okay to prune? Okay, we did apple tree.
Right.
We did when to spray plum trees for bugs and what to use. Is it a Dawn detergent mixture?
Well, some of those soap mixtures will work. I'm not sure how effective that would be. I guess I would go on the internet and see what you can find there as far as using soap sprays for insects. I'm not sure that how effective that would be. I think you'd probably have to put it on a lot more closer to the time when you actually have the insects being a problem. Right now, of course, there's no insect there to be a problem, so putting something on now wouldn't do any good. And you can't use a systemic insecticide because you're going to use the fruit. So you have to use some type of contact insecticide or soap mixture to get these insects. So I would certainly wait until they're leafed out and they flowered and then think about it. Other thing to keep in mind is a lot of these insecticides are not a real positive thing with bees and with pollination. So typically you like to wait until after they've pollinated and the fruit has set before you start using something.
Is there anything you can put down now for Creeping Charlie?
No. Not really. No, if you could find some type of soil sterilant, that probably would work. But if the Creeping Charlie is alive, growing and healthy, which it may be if we get a decent amount of rain, then of course you could go after it. But if it's just laying there dormant, no, nothing now is going to work.
Dave, I have a lot of aloe vera plants in one pot. How do I separate them? And do I put the main plant in a smaller pot?
Well, it's going to depend. You know, they like to be underpotted, but I guess I don't know how. I know typically when they send up the little shoots around them, you take those off. Usually you can leave it in pot it's in, but I guess now would be a great time to do it because right now is the time to replant houseplants. So, and when you do pull it out of the pot, it's fairly easy to separate the baby plants away from the mother plant. Then just pot each one up, water them in good, and then... Tend to keep them on the dry side like you would a typical aloe vera.
But they do like to be a little bit underpotted.
They like to be a little bit underpotted, yeah. The advantage there, of course, is it's more difficult to overwater them if they're underpotted.
I have a question about houseplants, and I know that the water, the tap water that we give it all winter long is a little saltier in nature.
Right.
And so if it's now time to kind of wash through that salt.
Right, it'd be a great time.
Do people ever accidentally overwater their plants? Because I would think they need a decent bath.
Right, right. Typically what you do is with aloe vera and that kind of plant, if it's a succulent, you wait until it's fairly dry before you water it. And then you water it fairly good. So I don't think that would be a problem doing that. Get some distilled water, or if you get rainwater, that'd be great. Something that doesn't come out of the tap or out of a softener, and use that and just pour it through so it runs through good. That usually isn't a problem. Usually the problem with overwatering is when you're doing it continuously. One shot, I don't think, would make any difference.
Do you find that that's one of the most common problems with houseplants?
Oh, sure. Yeah, the water is salty, and the plant uses the moisture, but the salt stays in the soil. And it just keeps, it's sort of like Devil's Lake. You know, you just keep adding... any salty water, the water evaporates, the salt stays. Well, that's the problem. It keeps getting saltier and saltier.
This is Plant Talk on KFTO, brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service and Cheyenne Gardens.
Plant Talk, we've got a room here for just a couple more quick questions, Dave. Let's get to this one. Okay. This person says, when can I split and transplant my hop plants?
I would think usually when you do it in the spring, wait till you see some life in it. Once the soil is a little bit warm, it'd be a great time to go ahead and dig it and get it moved. And I'm not sure how you split hops, but I assume if there's a way you can actually split the roots, that would be great. But what, yeah, once it's, you want the soil to be somewhat warm and the plant just starting to leaf.
Are hops one of those plants that you need to establish for a little bit before they're going to start providing
anything?
Oh,
I'm sure it would be. Actually, I know that in some of these areas around here along the river, there are hops plants growing, some type of a native plant that's a hops.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Find yourself a wild one, huh?
Yeah, find yourself a wild one.
Someone says, how do you kill the wild vines which grow in pine trees? The vines seem to kill the tree.
Well, what I would do, I'd find out where it comes from with the ground and cut it off. That's the big thing, because they're all rooted down under the tree. So
there are some nasty vines that are getting into trees, aren't they?
Right. You go down south, and I don't remember what that is, name of something, but you go down south like... Mississippi and Alabama and stuff, they've got this, I don't know what it's, kudzu or whatever it is, that grows up in the trees and stuff and almost takes over. But you wouldn't have that around here.
No, but I know there are some around here that I've seen.
Right,
that
there's a wild cucumber in some of them that very vigorous vining. But yeah, just find out where, you can see where its root is. Just go ahead and cut it off the root. And if it does start to grow again there, just spray it with a chemical and kill it that way.
These privacy fences that people have been building lately are really all to do, and they want something that vines quickly. Is there a great vine that grows quickly?
Well, Engelmann ivy is very vigorous. It's an ivy-type plant that grows up along the fence, and it'll go over the fence before you know it. So Engelmann ivy is very vigorous. It gets a fairly decent kind of a maroonish fall color, but that would be quick.
And you have to be careful with that one, right? Because it'll continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow.
It keeps getting bigger and bigger, and it will lay on the ground and try and get out on the lawn too, and you'll have to pull that up. So, but Engelmann ivy is probably the most vigorous of a vining thing that you could put on a fence.
Is that really hard on the fence itself? I mean, does it create enough weight that it ever becomes an issue?
It shouldn't be a problem with weight-wise. No, it shouldn't be, because it'll come and go over the top of the fence at what it is. And if you've got that and it's out of hand, don't hesitate to clip it and cut it and chop it and whatever to get it back.
Now, I know we said we might be getting a more cool weather next week. Is it time to uncover things like roses and other perennials?
Oh, yeah. They should have been uncovered. You want to get them uncovered right away. And if you've got grasses, get them cut back right away, because mine is probably, 3, 4, 5 inches high now of new growth. So the grasses, if you haven't cut them back, get that done right away.
If you've got a hydrangea plant where you kept the balls on them, is now time to take it off?
Now would be the time to do that. If you've got the tree form of a hydrangea, then you just shape it up to a shrub type. If you got the Annabelle, which shoots up from the ground, then cut those back to maybe 8-12 inches high and let them come up again.
And then what can you do for some vole damage in the lawn? Because I think people are really noticing that this year.
Yeah, you know, and the thing with voles, I've done some investigation, and voles hate castor oil. So there are preventives now that you can buy. It's a pelleted material. You just spread that out in the fall of the year. Voles won't go near it because it's got castor oil in it. So it's a mole and vole type of material that you put down, and it keeps them away. But if you've had damage last fall, just take the rake it all up, clean it up. The grass will come back up in that area, because when they do skim the grass off, they don't get to the root. So it just comes back from the root, and by midsummer, you won't even be able to see where the voles were.
How anxious should people be about their lawns? I mean, we just got a nice little shot of water, but if it's not green by Saturday, are people overreacting?
Well, I wouldn't expect it to green immediately, but I would guess that once we get through this rain and this cool weather, they're going to be an awful lot greener than they were before we hit any rain.
Someone says, I have covered my strawberries with straw for winter. Should I remove the straw now?
Definitely get it off. Definitely get it off, yeah.
Okay, there you have your answer. Dave, thanks so much for another great edition of Plant Talk.
Well, sounds great. We'll see you at 1 o'clock next Thursday.
You got it. 1 o'clock next Thursday. Dave will be taking more of your questions. And thanks for our great sponsors here on Plant Talk, Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, and Cheyenne Gardens.